Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. All right. Welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm with Billy Edney. Did I say your name right?
Because
sometimes I get so excited to have my friends on a podcast that I forget their name.
You're like, oh my God, my friend.
Wait, what's your name? And I always tell this story where I'm like excited to see people and I forget everybody's names. Is I dated someone for 2 years and I went to a party and everyone's like, who's this? And I was like, this is my boyfriend. And he just looks at me like, really, Christina? It's been 2 years. Sorry. So if I forget your name, it literally has nothing to do with who you are.
Yeah, no, it's just totally, I know you're excited.
I'm excited to see you. And I always do. Love your energy. Something I always admire about your presence is you have this powerful energy, positivity, enthusiasm, and this realness with you. So even if you're going through the shit, your perspective just is always the silver lining for some reason. And I really enjoy that quality about you. And I'm guessing, because I haven't taken a yoga class from you in a really long time, I'm guessing your yoga students probably pick up on that as well.
I sure hope so. You know, it's hard to judge where your students are at because sometimes I don't know. I think it's just a natural thing as a teacher, but we can be so self-critical of ourselves. Like, do my students really want to listen to what I have to say? Mm-hmm. Am I giving them any benefit? Do I sound like a broken record? Are they sick of me yet? Like, there's just so much self-critical. And I always find, like, this happened to me recently, like, am I teaching appropriately to my students? Because you have to check yourself, too, because sometimes you teach to what you want to teach and you forget to look at your students and be like, oh, they're not quite there yet. Maybe I need to scale it back or I need to scale it up. They're bored or whatever. And so I was in this moment of like, am I truly teaching to my students? Am I bringing value to them? Am I creating a space of learning and exploration in their own bodies and their minds and just going through all the things? And I think I was just kind of going through this circular thinking of like, am I good enough? You know?
Am I good enough?
Yeah. Am I appropriate for them? And it was just that exact same day. I went in, taught the class, just did my normal thing. It was a really great class. But these two girls who have been coming to my class pretty regularly the last like month and a half stopped after class. And they were like, I just really want to let you know that I love your cueing. I love the things you say. And it has helped me in my practice so much. And I haven't had any other teachers like break it down like that. And I was just like,
wow.
This is so like just words to my heart and affirmation that we're all on the right path and we're doing the right things. And
yes.
So I was just like, so students out there, never be shy to tell your teachers.
Teachers need validation
too.
Because
totally
I think
do.
So often we're all in our own little bubbles. And as a student of yoga, you forget that your teacher's also in a little bubble because you'll take a class and you'll be like, oh man, that rocked my world. That's amazing. But oh, it's crowded. And oh, there's talking to other people. And oh, but sometimes your teacher's having a bad day too. And they're like, oh, I don't know how that class was.
Yeah.
So tell them.
Yes,
I love that.
Absolutely. Always tell them. So
I think that question of, am I teaching appropriately to my students? Is this the right type of cueing and level? Am I am I leveling down or am I leveling up? Are we on the right page? That's such a great question to ask yourself as a teacher, because I think if you get stuck in that little teacher rut where you got to get to the next class and you got to get to the next class and I didn't plan anything. Okay, let's pull out that thing in my back pocket that I always have memorized and then let's just try to adapt it to whoever shows up to class today. And
yeah.
And then you're like, am I adapting it? I don't know. How do you even think of this? How do you process that question? Because I think everyone in your class can be kind of different too.
Oh, so different. You just have so many different personalities and different journeys in your class. Like you have the beginner that just has only been doing a couple classes and they're trying to figure out where they fit in the studio or if they even like the studio to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you have the middle of the ground people who like to do yoga, but they're not quite exploring yet. They're just showing up and doing the things and doing what they're capable of, but they're not quite exploring yet. And then you have the other people who are in the corner, like doing their own class.
Can we talk about the people doing their own classes? Sometimes they don't go to the corner where they belong.
Yeah, exactly. They sure don't.
I'm just like, I was telling my boyfriend this the other day. I'm like, the worst yoga student is yoga teacher. I'm like, why are you in my class? Because you obviously don't want to do my class.
Right.
No shade to my teacher friends who come to my classes. I love you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
But like some days I'm so proud of my students for exploring. And other days I'm like, not today. Yeah. I'm not in the mood for you to do that today. I'm in the mood for you to do what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And so then that's my own battle of control that I have to work with.
Oh, for sure. And it's so funny because, you know, we tell our students all the time to adjust the practice for you. This is your practice. This is yoga practice, not yoga perfect. You know, all the things.
So if I'm in that mood, I should never say that.
Yeah, right. So we try to tell them to do their own practice. My words are just a guide, but you don't have to follow them. But then when they don't follow, you're like, wait a minute.
You're like, I prepared this sequence and you're not doing what we're doing.
Totally. You're really distracting.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's something that I'm currently dealing with. And I think I only deal with it once a week. One week out of the month, I'm a little sensitive.
I think that happens the way the energetic moon, whatever, solar flares are happening, something.
Something's going on where I just feel irritable and nothing can go right.
Right.
And I might be saying that because I just had one of those weeks last week where I'm like, nobody likes my class. They're doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
But all in all, I think personal exploration is so important to connecting with who you are.
For sure. And but there's also a place where, like, I think we get so excited, I think, is when you start practicing yoga. Like, the reason we go to yoga in group settings is because the energy is different. The focus is different. It's so nice to have someone else telling you where to go so that you can just drop into your meditation and let your body do the things, you know? But I think I'm maybe a generalizing, but I think people go to those classes and they depend solely on those classes for their journey, where they really need to be stepping out of the class and exploring, you know, in their own home and on their own and out of the class setting. Like, what is my yoga and what does that look like? And so I wish when I see that, I'm like, would you please not come to class? I want you to stay home and do your own yoga practice.
How do you
pick music or not pick music and explore that for yourself so that when you do come back to class, you're ready to participate in that class setting?
How do you encourage that? How do you say that?
I think just maybe generally, because I haven't done that yet, so maybe let's figure this out. I think maybe it's something as teachers that, like, I love your energy and I am so honored to have you. Like, every person that comes in the class, I love that they show up. I love, I'm just honored by the energy that they bring.
I'm inspired.
Yeah, and just giving me that place to be able to share with them. Mm-hmm. And they inspire me. Like, I'm like, whoa, look at, like, from where you were a month ago, this is amazing. And so, and just also, you know, there's such a mental component to yoga. You see people that come in that are just kind of sometimes lost and they're trying to find their way or, you know, and just watching them really start to drop into their practice and see how the yoga is affecting their lives on all levels, their relationships, their community, you know, and just how they're showing up in a personal way for themselves. And so I think maybe just as a closing statement, like, my challenge for you this week is to... take time to have a practice on your own. And it doesn't have to be a big thing, like 10 minutes. Take 10 minutes, get on your mat at home and practice your favorite pose. And if it's a peak pose, how are you going to get to that peak pose in an allotted amount of time? Because there's stretches you have to do before you can just get there, right?
Oh, so, and then after class, they're like, you said this challenge.
Yeah.
How do I do this challenge? And that's such a great way to create connection and, and have your yoga students think about their personal practice separate from the group practice.
Right. And then I think also that can generate questions. Like if they're at home working on it by themselves, there's going to be questions that come up, like I'm having trouble with this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe helping them outside of the class, or like, that's a great question. Next week, let's do a class around that, because maybe other people are having that same question. So
let's talk about how you got into yoga. What's your background? Tell us your journey, your story.
It is such a long journey. I don't even really know where to start, but okay. So I moved to San Francisco and I got, I had been doing martial arts a little bit here and there all through my teenage years. And I was really looking for a huge change in my life. And so I ended up going to this judo club, and incredible judo competition team, really got into it. The school year was coming up, and he was a professor at the school and ran the judo club at the school as well. And he's like, I really want you to be on our team school. What do you think about, going to college? And I'm like, I want to, but I don't, I'm out of state, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, we can work that out. So he ended up being able to waive my out of state fees as long as I was competing on the team. And then I just pay the normal tuition, which was like $10 a unit. And I think each class was like two or three units. So $20, $30 a class per semester.
Amazing.
But in order to go, you have to take an extracurricular. So my extracurricular was yoga.
Oh.
And this amazing woman, I can't remember her name, but typical like older yogi. She had a gray bob haircut, which is so centered and lovely within herself. Yoga was her life, but she taught in just such a way that was just so grounding and peaceful. And it was a school class, and so it was like a teacher training. Like, we really broke down everything. And so I ended up taking it every single semester. That was my extracurricular.
Wow.
And I stayed with her. One semester I went over to a vinyasa class, but the teacher was so, she was lovely. Like, madly in love with vinyasa, but I had been doing hatha for a couple semesters, and it was such a different energy for me that I was like, I want to go back to my other teacher. I think because my own life was kind of crazy, that she had such a grounding presence that I wanted to be.
You weren't ready to go that way yet. Okay.
Exactly. So I stuck with the hatha yoga, and I was convinced at that point that I was going to start teaching yoga. But life is strange. And, it takes you in so many different directions. So I was just so thankful for the time that I had and what I had learned. But I still, at that point, yoga just really took off after that on a global scale. And so at that moment, I was still going to yoga in like sweatpants, and I had this ratty mat and like was peeling up, the cheap ones that peel up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I used several of those types of mats up until just, I took Hollywood Markets training, and I remember coming to class with my ratty mat, and it was, oh gosh, what's the gal up in Ida Yoga?
Beth Stewart.
Yes, Beth looked at my mat and she was like, dear God, she's like, can I buy you a new mat? This is terrible. And I was like, it works. What's the problem?
So when you tried out a new mat, how did it feel?
Amazing.
It's incredible what a great mat will do for your yoga.
Different world. I'm like, why does it matter? It's just body movement. I don't care. But it makes a big difference.
That's how I felt until I got a great mat. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I've been slipping and sliding and not even knowing.
Yeah, totally. Having that muscle control, or even just now, because such a hot yoga junkie, like being able to use a mat that you don't have to use a towel on.
Yeah.
Because I'm a fusser with the mat. Like,
what mat do you use now?
Right now I have a Lululemon.
Okay.
Before that I had I'm so terrible with names. It was a beautiful mat, same type as Lululemon, but it has the markers on it.
Oh,
it
like is that the form?
Yeah.
Form?
Form or forum? Yes, that mat. Love that mat. It was beautiful. But I went to India last year and I had that mat with me, and I was on my way back. I had bought too many trinkets to give to my friends. And so my bag was overweight and I was trying to, you know,
I do that all the time. I'll take my yoga mat with me and I just leave it there.
Yeah.
Like, here's a mat if anyone needs one.
And that's exactly what happened. So I ended up leaving my mat there. I was like, oh, but I can buy another one. I don't want to drop any of the trinkets that I got. So when I got back, I ended up, recently I had to go to San Diego on an unexpected trip and I was going to be there for a while. So I ended up stopping in Lululemon and picked up a mat, and it's so far it's my favorite mat I've ever had. So
which mat is it?
It's just a regular black one, 5 mil. Mm-hmm. So I love it, but I don't need a mat. I don't need a towel because I'm the type of person in yoga, like, I'm fussing with the towel. It has to be perfect.
What's your sign?
I'm a Virgo. I am the Virgoest of Virgos.
That's why I love you. You are a Virgo. I'm Virgo.
Yes. When's your birthday?
September 19th.
Oh my gosh, I'm the 11th.
Oh my goodness. And you use a lot of your Virgo energy for your job as well.
For sure.
Because I feel like you're the Christina of Trinity Hot Springs.
Totally. Yes. Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't know.
Okay, so where were we on your yoga journey?
Oh, my yoga journey. Oh, that's okay. I had been taking hatha yoga with this woman for several semesters. And, life gets strange. And I ended up back in Idaho. Just to kind of compartmentalize real quick, I got into personal training. I always used yoga in my personal training practice with my clients. And then I started, I was doing MMA.
Yeah.
And I partnered with...
God, you're so cool.
I don't know. But, you know, life is strange. You just do things. Like, it's just the things I did, you know?
Yeah.
I don't stop to think about, like, the implications or what they really were. But, they were super cool. I'm really blessed to have had done all the things that I've done.
Yeah.
But so I started going to this gym. I found this gym that I fell in love with, and the owner became a really good friend of mine. He needed help running the place because it was growing exponentially. And so I jumped in and partnered with him. And in that, I made all my students always warm up with yoga and do those kind of things. So I never really became a yoga teacher at that point. Yoga was always there.
You sound like you're really attracted to body movement.
Totally. Totally.
Has that always been the case?
In some form, because being an athlete has always been a part of my life in one way or another. And you have to warm up and take care of your muscles. And it was weird because when I was doing it, I didn't really understand the implications of what I was doing. Like, I just knew it was important. I knew we should do it, and I knew some things and I wanted to share them, right?
Okay.
But I didn't really, I hadn't dropped into like the real juicy stuff of what yoga is and what it can do for you mentally, physically, spiritually. It was just something that we did to warm up.
Yeah, okay, totally. For MMA and personal training and judo.
Totally.
Gosh, you're so cool.
And so towards the end of my MMA journey, I got really sick all of a sudden, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I was just really struggling on all levels, and I couldn't do fight camps anymore because I couldn't show up physically. Like, it's just such a hard thing on your body. You know, 9 weeks of a fight camp is just really intense, and I just wasn't able to take that abuse anymore. Mentally, there was such a brain fog, and I was just chronically fatigued, and I was getting no answers from going to the doctor. And they kept trying to chalk it up. Oh, you're just depressed. And I'm like, well, I am, because I'm hurting and I can't move and I'm not able to do the things that I should be able to do. But I'm not. That's not the baseline. That's not what's going on. There's something else going on. There's a root here. And in Western medicine, they just weren't willing to
find the root.
Yeah, find the root. And they're typical in Western medicine when you go for help with, you know, the unseen diseases like any autoimmune or chronically ill kind of stuff. Especially as a woman, I feel like they just bypass you and like you're depressed or you need to eat better, all those things. But I was doing all the things. And and so anyway, it was just a really frustrating journey. Finally, I found a naturopath that really kickstarted the journey for me and found some root causes that I was like, I'm not crazy. I felt validated.
Did you feel so relieved?
I did, but that's what started a whole healing journey for me. And that
is the naturopath still local and still here?
He's not here anymore. I actually think he ended up in a divorce with his wife and moved on to other things. So
things happen. Life is crazy.
Yeah. So, but he was a definite pivotal point for me. But it just started me on the, like, if I can't find help from the doctors, I am going to dive deeper, and I can't be the only one, that is experiencing this. So if I can heal myself, maybe I can help heal other people that are experiencing the same thing. Yes. Right. So it's just been like this 10-year journey now trying to figure out how to best heal myself. And it's been little steps, like, you know, you figure out one thing, you try it and you make some progress, but it didn't quite take care of the whole problem. So you just keep learning and doing different things.
What advice would you give to people who are on a similar path?
Oh gosh. Well, I 100% I believe that a lot of the ailments, especially when you're dealing with autoimmune issues, a lot of the ailments are in your gut health. And I know that's a huge thing right now, but your gut is your, I call it your first brain. A lot of people call it your second brain, but either way, it is part of your brain. All of your neurotransmitters are in your gut. And those if you have any type of inflammation or something going on in your gut imbalance, it's going, you know, it affects your neurotransmitters and you're not able to send the right signals to your brain, which then, you know, your brain is not functioning at a proper level. So you're not able to show up on a right way for anything. So if there's anything ever going on with anybody, the first thing you're going to do is balance your gut. So taking yourself through a regimen, and there's so many different things you can do. I definitely have my own beliefs and my own way of how you should do that. But you know, there's several different ways that you can do that. And, but just really getting, so you can, you know, in that, when your gut's in balance, you have the inflammation and you have, you know, you start to develop like mucus, and that mucus, like, if it starts to bleed through your gut and then it's getting in your joints or your blood system you septic or whatever. So
that's really unknown. Yeah. That type of information.
I think it's getting more traction. Like, there's definitely a lot more piqued interest on gut health. And I think people, especially on a Western side, they're starting to pick up that your gut health is absolutely the baseline of your health, period.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so anyway, if you're having troubles, check in with your gut. And if you're having gut issues, we need to deal with them.
We need to deal with them.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with your gut health. And did you start taking more yoga classes?
Absolutely. Well, at that time, so I don't know if you remember this, so I kind of want to back up a little bit. So while I was in the MMA gym, my partner, he started a program called Champion a Child. And so it was, basically we sponsor, lower income children to be able to participate in a gym membership. And we help take care of other things like their school supplies and clothing. And, you know, a lot of them, you know, had single mothers with other children who couldn't do Christmas because, you know, things like that. So we would use the money to buy Christmas presents or whatever.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was cool to see the kids that we would sponsor. Some of them would come in, and it got to the point, like, they were ruly, and I'd be like, oh, dear Lord, you know. But it got to the point where, like, the most unruly children would come into my class, and I'm like, oh, you're going to be my favorite, because they're the ones that you see the most progress with. Like, they just come in unruly, unable to focus, super disruptive, kind of a bully, whatever. And then, you know, they start to learn some discipline. They're learning some self-worth because they're capable of doing these things. You're encouraging them. They're starting to compete. And you just see a total shift in them. And they end up just becoming my favorite. So at first it would be like, oh God. But when I would see those kids now, I'm like, ooh, I can't wait. You're going to be my favorite. So,
yes.
Anyway, so we were doing a auction to raise money for this program to be able to sponsor more kids. And I was running around town with a girlfriend of mine, and she's like, okay, we're just going to go into every store we can find and ask them if they would donate something for the auction.
Yes.
And so my girlfriend and I, we ended up driving by Hollywood Market Yoga, And
I'm working at the desk.
Yes, you're working at the front desk. And I like kind of remember being nervous and awkward because
you guys were super awkward. I'm like, just tell me what you're doing. Yeah. And then it was really exciting.
Yeah. And so because it's just so weird to be like, can I have something? I don't know who you are, but thank you. You know?
Yeah.
And so I can't remember. You gave us like a free week or a free month or something along those lines that we could put in the auction. And I just remember finally spitting it out and getting it out to you what our purpose was and what we needed. And you were just like, sure, and wrote it out and handed it to
us. Here's a gift certificate. Yeah,
totally.
Good luck.
And I just remember walking out going, woo, we got another thing.
Yes.
But that was my first impression of walking in there. And I was like, this studio is really cool. I'm really curious. I'm piqued in interest. And it wasn't too long after that we had the free yoga week in Boise.
Idaho Health and Awareness, Idaho Yoga Health and Awareness that Naomi Jones does.
Yes.
Which promo, I got her coming on to do an episode soon. Woo! And I can't wait to talk to
awesome.
Her.
Awesome. And so we had that week and I ended up at Hollywood Market Yoga because I was like, I want to try this.
Oh yeah, because we did some classes for the Awareness Week.
Yeah, and so I did a class and from that first class I was totally hooked. Because I was kind of at the beginning still of discovering my autoimmune and how to deal with it.
Yeah.
I was in chronic pain all the time
and still
chronic fatigue. And it was getting to the point where like my body was starving for the yoga because the yoga, you know, you have that chronic pain and you just don't want to move and everything hurts. But I would come into yoga and the heat would just.
The infrared heat is so good
man.
For you.
Yes. And I would just instantly feel my body like start to open up and relax. And then I would be able to do the yoga. And I just felt so good because outside of yoga, I really wasn't able to move very much without a lot of pain. And so it just felt good for that hour to feel normal in my body.
Wow.
And so it became an addiction kind of. And I realized in hindsight that I naturally was trying to bring up the heat in my body.
Okay.
To, you know, burn off toxins and
and
move. And it's just good to move your body and the endorphins that come from that and sweating, getting rid of the toxins as well.
Yes.
And so I remember, oh my gosh, when I first started doing hot yoga regularly, after the first 3 months, I had to throw away all my yoga clothes, like literally throw them away because I was sweating profusely, but I was releasing so many toxins from my body. It's the ammonia in it. And all of my yoga clothes smelled like cat pee. Like I could not get the smell out of my clothes. And
that's
it was
amazing.
Terrible. Yeah. So I had to throw them all away and start over again. And I think I did that probably. I've done that with several items since then. But like, you know, that was only the first like 6 months. After that, I feel like I burned it all out.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't have the cat pee sweat anymore.
That is so amazing. The body's incredible.
Totally. But I just feel like, you know, at the time I didn't realize like what I was doing for my body. I was just like, it feels really good. And it's the only time of day that I do feel good. And so I'm just going to keep doing this. And I just think on a subconscious level, my body was like, yes, go. You're healing yourself. Keep going. I think it was just a couple months after that, you guys were starting a teacher training.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I really want to dive deeper into this. And like, this is my heart is speaking to this so much. And I was still personal training at the time. And I was also noticing like, I cared way more about a person's health and mental being than helping them build muscles. Like they would come in and be like, I want to do squats and blah, 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 and do all these things. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, you're so out of alignment and you don't have the right muscle structure. And I think as a personal trainer, you have to notice these things and guide them in the right and safe way.
Yes.
But I just.
Safety.
Yeah. But I just realized I care way more about their health and than
holistic, I, like the whole body.
Yeah.
Let's do a holistic rundown.
Absolutely. Than I ever did about helping them build muscles. And so it just was a slow kind of just like. Self-guided into there. And then I started doing Thai body work, and it was just such a natural thing for me. I think with having the yoga background and also being a wrestler, I think Thai body work just tied in there really
well. Do you still
do
Thai massage?
Oh, yeah. I have a studio up at Zen Riot. So
oh, you do? So people can book sessions with you?
For sure. For sure.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Please come get one.
Yes. And then you also teach yoga at Zen Riot.
I do. I do.
Okay.
And so I feel like I was even noticing when I was doing Thai body work workshops, like sometimes people were kind of awkward moving around the body, or they just weren't comfortable like mm-hmm. getting into positions with the body. And because of my wrestling background, I was like, come here. Like, and I have a really good sense of like how far you can take the body in where you're okay, or it's in pain, or you're not in the right alignment. Yeah. 'Cause that's all we learn in jujitsu, you know, and wrestling. And so I just felt like with the yoga background and moving in a holistic way, and then having the wrestling background, like Thai body was such a natural fit for me. And
I'm going to book an appointment with you after we get done here.
Awesome.
I need to come in.
Yes, please do.
Okay.
I can't wait to get you on my mat. That's yes. going to be amazing. So,
oh my gosh. Cool.
Yeah. And it's fun to do Thai body. A lot of, you know, clients that I have, they've never experienced Thai body work, because I also offer it up at Trinity Hot Springs. And, you know, generally people will come in and want just a deep tissue or Swedish massage or just a typical table mm-hmm. massage. And we'll be like, well, we don't have any of those practitioners on site this weekend, but we do have a Thai therapist. They're always like, what's that? And they do it because it's the only thing available. They're like, oh, okay. So I always try to make
doesn't that feel great?
Yeah.
Oh, you booked a session with me and you didn't want to.
Yeah,
cool.
Totally. And so I always want their first experience to be a good experience, because it is so different. You're not on a table. You're on a traditional Thai mat. It's on the floor. You're moving, you're rocking, you're pushing, you're pulling.
Yeah.
And putting yourself in pretty precarious positions, but really you just get to lie there and enjoy it. It's kind of like assisted yoga. All I need you to do is breathe, but it's a very different experience than people are used to. So I just try to make
what's
it
the feedback best. You get the most from people who don't have any expectations? They're like, I just signed up for this. What are we doing?
Right. They are generally it's really good feedback, but it's like they're speechless. They're just like, what just happened? You know, like, this is like, what is that again? I don't even know how you put my body in that position. I didn't know my body could do that.
Wow.
And I wasn't expecting it to be relaxing, you know, those kind of things. And my favorite is just when they're speechless, when they're just like, whoa.
What do you wear to a Thai massage?
So typically Thai, so
body work.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm like so used to like I've taken a Thai massage workshop, yeah. but they didn't call it Thai body work.
Yeah. So we got to call it Thai body work in Idaho, especially. I don't know if other states are the same.
Oh, okay.
But because it's a lineage practice. And so any lineage practice isn't licensed under the state of Idaho. And so
right.
you can't call it massage because it's not regulated. And if you start calling it massage, then you have the board come down on you and shut you down.
Yeah.
Because you, yeah, that's essentially it. It's not regulated. And
gotcha.
So
it's body work.
It's body work.
Yeah.
And so anyway, where
were
we going with that?
I don't know. It feels like, oh, like the feedback they give you is they're typically speechless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's probably my favorite, is just seeing that it actually was beneficial to them and something that they would like to do again. It's definitely different. And what I like about it is that it is so dynamic. Like, you are getting deep and therapeutic, but you're also getting relaxed and you're opening up a body in a way, instead of just lying on a table and getting oil rubbed on you, which
yeah.
has its benefits. I'm
yeah.
totally not against it. And, oh, you were saying, I remember, what do you typically wear?
So typically, oh, yeah. So what do you wear?
So typically you do stay clothed. You want to wear loose clothing like yoga pants or, you know, shorts and a tank top are great. I personally love to have access to the skin on the back, so you definitely want to wear bottoms, so either underwear or booty shorts or something. Yoga pants are fine too, but again, I like to have access to the skin because I do add some deep tissue in there. But I really love having access to the back and being able to get in there, because that's the juicy, right, part of the massage.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a good back rub.
Yes.
And so if you're clothed, all we can do is a little bit of pressure work. But if you're open on the skin, then we can really get deep in there and see, yeah, what's going on.
Keep your microphone closer to your mouth.
Oh, you got it. You're drooping.
Like you're coming in and out. Who would you recommend a Thai body work thing for? Like, who would benefit most from that?
Anybody. Yeah. So we can go from someone who needs to work on their mobility to, I have a couple old ladies that, you know, their flexibility isn't great, but we're working on it, and all the way up to athletes with injuries and everything in between. So it is good for everybody. We can definitely, it's just like yoga. There's so many different ways you can flow. You can do a different flow every day, every time, and approach the body differently. Yeah. And people are different too. So like some people are really, you know, up in their head, all vata all day long.
So, I'm also a vata.
Yeah. So getting them to be able to drop down into their body and into the session is a lot different approach than someone who is maybe dealing with some depression and you know, doesn't have any heat going on in their body. So you got to bring the heat back up into their body. So you approach it totally different. So it just depends on what's going on.
So for people who don't know what vata means, that is a dosha in Ayurvedic science. And I think we may have talked a little bit about this in a previous episode. So do you do a little dosha quiz for your clients who come in?
So I want to develop one, not at this time. So at this time, it's more of me just running down quite a few questions, and depending on the answers is where it will lead. But I'll get a pretty good sense of where they're at. But that's something I'm developing in my own practice of, like, what are the key questions that I want to know that will put them in a specific category. But at this point, it's just kind of in my head, and you can see whether, you know, they're heavy pitta, vata, kapha. Like,
okay, so those are the three main doshas.
Yeah.
And if you're a vata like me, your air sign more in your head. And pitta, you're more fire.
Yeah, you're fire. Lots of heat.
People can kind of see your muscle tone. You're just naturally athletic built, all this energy, fire. And then kapha is earth. And that's more soft and slow. Sometimes I think I have that in me because I can Netflix and chill like,
you
really
might.
Well.
What year were you born?
86.
You might, because I'm 77 and I'm full blown. And I would have never guessed that because when I first started learning, I thought.
Full blown kapha? No.
And I thought, I attributed it to being larger, heavy set, kind of overweight, bigger, slower. And because I've been an athlete my whole life, I was like, there's no way. But realizing that, I mean, that could be part of the constitution, but it doesn't.
Because there's physical constitutions to it. And so is it like how your muscle lays on you or how your fat lays on you?
Actually, I'm going to take a drink of water real quick.
Which, by the way, Billy brought in water from Trinity Hot Springs, which is amazing and delicious. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. But there's certain attributes that will align you with categories. Like there are, you know, the dosha tests that you can take online and you can kind of see where it puts you. But honestly, it comes down to your Joyous chart, like where you are born in alignment to the stars, which is
your birth chart.
Yes.
But in Indian culture, they call it your Joyous.
Yep, your Joyous chart.
I can't pronounce this.
And so there is, his name's escaping me at this very moment, but there's an incredible Joyous practitioner in town who he offers his services because you pay to have it.
Can I Google him?
Yes.
How do you spell Joyous?
J-O-Y-T.
If you find out, send it to me and I'll put it in the show notes so everyone can look them up because I think this is so important because I'm all about your birth chart and co-star and
and
the whole thing.
He's amazing. And so, of course, you give him all your birth information and he will line out your 12 suits. And
okay,
like
I need to call him.
Okay. Yeah, he's amazing and totally worth it. And so I did take an Ayurvedic program and he was part of it. So we got our chart done in that. And that's where I made the final discovery.
What did you learn the most from it?
From
the Joyous chart.
That I was a kapha.
That you were a kapha? Okay. And then things so, did things start to make more sense
it
to
did.
You?
So I think at that time, I'm trying to just recall what was the thing that stood out to me the most. But it was really interesting because it was so accurate, even all the way up to like looking back on my life, like major events that happened in my life that changed the trajectory of where I was going.
Wow.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's like written right there. And then being able to look into the future and being like, well, these are some paths that are probably going to happen in a certain way. But also just helping you realize like, what is my dharma? What is my path? And so this is probably the biggest thing that I took away from it was, I think I always have struggled with knowing my path, and I have so many interests in so many different things, and I love to do them full out, but that also leaves me pretty depleted because I just have so many commitments and I keep myself super busy, and the interests are so wildly different from each other. And so there's a part of me that was just like, why can't I just find a path as something that I'm one thing that I'm passionate about and can concentrate on that? Like, I'm always trying new things and doing different things. And that was in part of my chart, was like, that is kind of my purpose, to try new things and do all the things.
Wow.
And so it was at that moment that I was like, oh, I don't have to conform. And like, I'm not weird because I can't find something, one thing that I'm super passionate about. Like, why do I have to do all the things? And
you're following all your curiosities.
Yeah, totally. And that's my purpose. And so or part of my purpose. And so in there, I was like, oh, so it just helped me like gain some clarity. Like, there's nothing wrong with me not being able to find it. I'm not meant to find it. I'm supposed to explore and experience all these things. And it's perfectly normal and fine.
I love that. I almost forgot. I have to ask you this. What have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my gosh. Oh. There's so many. I should have came more prepared for this.
I know, I like sent you a quick text like an hour ago. Like, can't wait to hear what you've overheard at yoga.
I know, and even then I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of things are funny, like from people's like own personal things, like they get really comfortable in the dressing room before you go in, like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't shit myself when I go in there, or like,
so like three people this week were like, I'm having a stomach bug, I'm scared to go into a twist, and I'm gonna shit my yoga pants. I'm like, if you need to leave, you can. They're like, I left immediately. Oh, totally. Yeah, people will talk about anything.
I know. Or to just just people getting really comfortable or and talking about their personal things. I just think they're funny, like how people show up and they're funny in class or funny outside of class and how they interact with each other.
Like, can you give me an example?
Yeah.
I have an example while you're thinking of
that. Yeah, please do.
This is one of the latest things. And she might even be listening to this, so this is funny. So there is a... who's the guru? There's a guru who has a mantra and it's called, I am loving awareness.
Okay.
Do you know the guru?
I don't.
It says it. I'm going to Google it while I'm talking right now. I am loving awareness. I'm Googling it. So anyway, one of the teachers puts this on during Shavasana. It's Ram Dass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ram Dass is saying, I am loving awareness. And he says it in different ways and all throughout it. And one of the ladies comes out, and I never would have expected her to say this. She's like, please tell me, what is he saying? And we're like, what? She's like, it sounds like he's saying I'm loving anus. And we just start laughing, and someone else comes out and she's like, he's saying I'm loving kindness. And we're like, no. So one person's hearing kindness, the other person's hearing anus. And you just kind of hear what you want to hear sometimes. Totally. But it's, I am loving awareness.
Could you imagine like being on your mat and being like, is he saying anus? Yes. Like, what?
What is he saying? There's no way he's saying this, but that's all I'm hearing.
I know. I don't want anyone to love my anus.
And I want to know, like, how many times she's heard that, because this teacher plays this a lot in all her classes. Like, how long it took her to muster up the what is he saying to ask us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I can't think of, like, a specific. I just think people are funny when they show up and they just get really comfortable. Like,
really
they,
comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do funny things. But, and again, how they interpret what we're doing.
Everyone's having their own moment, their own experience.
Yeah.
Yes. thank you so much for coming on my little podcast.
Oh, my gosh. You're amazing.
I adore you.
I love you. I love you so much. And I just want to end with, again, I think you are absolutely incredible. You are my heart, and you're such an inspiring teacher to me. And, like, every time I get the chance to come into your class, I just immediately, I hear your voice, and I feel like I'm home. Like, you are just
so incredible,
and I love you. And so thank you for guiding me on my journey. Yes. I aspire to be like you as a teacher, and so thank you.
Thank you, Billy.
I love you a lot.
I love you. Bye, guys. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.